الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن من الشجر شجرة لا يسقط ورقها وإنها مثل المسلم فحدثوني ما هي. فوقع الناس في شجر البوادي. قال عبد الله رضي الله عنه: ووقع في نفسي أنها النخلة فاستحييت. ثم قالوا: حدثنا ما هي يا رسول الله؟ قال: هي النخلة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrates, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said in a gathering wherein there were 10 of us, إِنَّ مِنَ الشَّجَرِ شَجَرَةً, from amongst the trees there is a tree. لَا يَسْقُطُ وَرَقُهَا, whose leaves do not fall. Throughout the year it is evergreen. وَإِنَّهَا مَثَلُ الْمُسْلِمِ, and that tree is like a Muslim. It can be likened with a Muslim, or a Muslim can be likened with that tree. فَحَدِّثُونِ مَا هِيَ, tell me what it is. Tell me what the name of this tree is. Tell me which tree it is. I have given you clues. فوقع الناس في شجر البوادي. In order to reply to this question of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, the 10 people who were sitting there, they started thinking, and some remained silent, probably because they could not reach the conclusion. And others answered, but their answers were wrong. Their minds went towards the trees in the jungle. Is it this tree? Is it this tree? Probably it is this tree that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. So some members from the 10 remained silent, and some replied to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the answers were wrong. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, وَوَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِي, it occurred to me, أَنَّهَا النَّخْلَةُ, that it is the date palm tree. But I also remained silent. Why? فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ, out of haya I remained silent. Modesty and respect for the seniors prevented me from speaking, because my respected father Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst the 10 people who were in that gathering, and also Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was also amongst those people who were in that gathering, and they both remained silent. And because they remained silent, I also remained silent, out of modesty, out of haya, out of respect for them. Summa qalu, haddithna ma hiya ya Rasulullah. When the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in realized that the answers we are giving to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are incorrect answers, so they said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you inform us, which tree are you talking about? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, hiya nakhlatu, it is the date palm tree that I am talking about. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was correct. He knew the answer. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question, there were 10 sahaba. And from amongst the 10 sahaba, 3 were known, or 3 are known. One is Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. The other is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the third is Umar radiyallahu anhu, because Umar ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma has specifically mentioned these two people in another narration. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was very young at the time. He was probably in his early teens or mid-teens. Or he could be in his late teens. He was in his teens. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking this question during his life in Madinah Munawwara. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma is in his teens, early teens, mid teens, late teens. And he was much younger than Umar radiyallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. As far as the other 7 companions are concerned, we are unaware as to whether they were senior to Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma or junior. But these two were definitely seniors. And it was the consensus of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in that these two were the best and the most virtuous after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the consensus of the Sahaba and consensus of the whole Ummah that the best person after our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Umar radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma is much younger in age, and he is much junior in virtue also. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was a great alim, and he was also And Umar radiallahu anhu was also a great alim. But in this particular majlis, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked the question, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma could not answer. It was Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma who was in a position to give the correct answer. Later on, when he mentioned this to his father Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not say, yes, my son, I also knew the answer. So Umar radiallahu anhu definitely did not know the answer. And most probably Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu did not know the answer as well to this question. Otherwise he would have replied. There was no reason why he should have remained silent. From this we learn a very important lesson. And that is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires, He may choose a junior for a particular knowledge over his seniors. Allama Aini rahimahullahu ta'ala says that sometimes certain things may remain hidden from the senior alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may keep certain ulum concealed from a senior alim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may open the door of those ulum or that particular ilm to a junior alim. And thereafter Allama Aini rahmatullahi alayhi says, لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ مِنَحٌ إِلَهِيَّةٌ وَمَوَاهِبَ رَبَّانِيَّةٌ لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ مِنَحٌ إِلَهِيَّةٌ. Because ilm is a gift from the ilah. It is a gift from ilah. وَمَوَاهِبَ رَبَّانِيَّةٌ. It is وَمَوَاهِبَ رَحْمَانِيَّةٌ. It is Rahmani gifts. Ilm is Rahmani gift, ilm is ilahi gift. وَإِنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls the grace. يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَى. And He grants His grace to whomsoever He desires. There is a great lesson for the seniors in this hadith. That the seniors should not always disregard and ignore the statements and the opinions of the juniors. In consultations, in mashwaras, if a junior says something, pay attention to what he is saying. Somebody who is a 45-year-old, a 50-year-old, whilst observing a 15-year-old or 20-year-old giving his opinion in regard to any consultation, one should not ignore him thinking that he is only 20 years old, I am 55 years old, I have more experience, I have more knowledge. No, pay attention to him. It is possible that what he is about to say is very, very important. And it will be of immense benefit to you in giving your verdict or taking the final decision if you were to listen to this young man. So do not ignore young people.
We live with each other. The father lives with his son, and over time, the father realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted my child with certain talents. A teacher comes in contact with his student on a daily basis for a whole year, for many years. After graduation also. And he realizes the talents of his student. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him talents, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the student or the child expertise in a particular field, then he should be given the opportunity to express himself, and the senior should benefit from his expertise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him for this particular expertise. And we have been taught to do this by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been taught to do this practically by the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, by the Tabi'in, by the Taba Tabi'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the Hajjatul Wada, delivered a khutbah, a sermon. And after delivering the khutbah, he said, Allah, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبِ. Listen very carefully. The one who is present should convey whatever I have said to the one who is not present. The one who is present should convey whatever I have said to the one who is absent. And then after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the reason also. فَإِنَّ الشَّاهِدَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يُبَلِّغَ إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَوْعَى لَهُ مِنْهُ. He said, the one who is present here, who has heard my khutbah and sermon, should pass it on to the one who is absent. So the one who is present here should become a muballigh, the one who conveys. He should become a muallim, the one who teaches. So the one to whom the message is being conveyed, or the one who is being taught by this person who is present, he will become his student, and this person will become his teacher. And teacher is senior and the student is junior. The person who will convey will become senior, maybe not in age but in virtue, because he has become the teacher. And the one to whom the message is being conveyed will become junior, because he has become a student. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you must convey. Why? The reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives is, فَإِنَّ الشَّاهِدَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يُبَلِّغَ. Because it is possible that the one who is present may convey this ilm that he has heard from me today to someone who is aw'a than himself. Who is aw'a than himself. Aw'a. The commentators of hadith, the experts in the field of hadith, the masters in the field of hadith, from amongst whom is Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Aini rahimahullahu ta'ala, and our mashayikh also, Sheikh Mawlana Mahmood Hassan Deobandi rahimahullahu ta'ala, they have said that the word aw'a in this hadith has two meanings. One is ahfaz and the other is afham. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is possible that the one to whom the message is being conveyed is more understanding than the one who is conveying. Or the one to whom the message is being conveyed has a better memory than the one who is conveying. So if the person who has heard from me, who is present here in this gathering, If his memory is weak, he is able to remember something for 6 months only. And if he does not convey this message within 6 months to others, then the ilm and the knowledge that he has acquired from me will vanish. So therefore, before this ilm expires from his memory, he should pass it on to as many people as possible, because he may come across somebody who will be able to remember this ilm for 1 year. He may come across somebody who has a photographic memory, who will be able to remember this ilm until he breathes his last. So as a result of his teaching others and conveying the message to others, ilm will be safeguarded. This is one benefit. So the one who conveys his memory may not be as powerful as the one to whom the message is being conveyed. This is one interpretation. So in this case, the junior has more virtue over the senior from this aspect. That the senior is going to forget this hadith within 6 months, and the junior is going to remember the hadith for the rest of his life. So the senior will only be able to convey this hadith to the people for 6 months, and he will continue conveying this hadith and teaching this hadith until he breathes his last. Innal ilma minahun ilahiyatun. Ilm is a gift from the Creator. So for the senior, in this case, for the senior, it's a gift, but small gift, only for 6 months. And for the junior, it is a big gift. And the seniors have to realize and understand that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a larger chunk to the juniors than the seniors. Maybe in one field only. Maybe in one field only, the senior is more expert than his junior in the field of hadith. The senior is more expert than his junior in the field of tafsir. The senior is more expert than his junior in the field of fiqh. But in the field of Arabic grammar, the junior may be more expert than senior. Allah distributes. Allah grants whatever he desires to whomsoever he desires. One interpretation. Second interpretation. The one who hears, me, he should convey it to others. Why? Because it is possible that the one to whom the message is being conveyed is more understanding than the one who is conveying the message. The memory is very powerful, but his understanding is not so powerful. So the one who's conveying is senior, and the one to whom it is being conveyed is junior, but the junior is more understanding. The hadith says, so it is possible this can happen. So the person who has heard from me directly, his memory is very powerful. Photographic memory, he will not forget this hadith until he breathes his last. But because his understanding is not of that level, so he will be able to deduce only one point from this hadith. And as a result, again, ilm will be wasted. Ilm will be wasted. Ummah will not be able to benefit. But if he passes on this hadith to that person whose understanding is far more better than his understanding, the other person may be able to deduce 10 points from that hadith. And as a result, the ilm will spread more and the ummah will benefit more. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was sitting in the company of his muhaddis teacher. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a faqih and also a muhaddis. It is a substantiated fact that Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, was not only a faqih, he was a faqih and a muhaddis. Who is a faqih? Faqih is he who deduces in religious injunctions who deduces religious rules and regulations, permissible, impermissible, halal, haram, what breaks the fast, what breaks the wudu. He deduces the rules and the laws pertaining to deen. He is a faqih. And where does a faqih deduce these masail from? Quran and Hadith. So how can a person be recognized and acknowledged as a faqih without having the knowledge of the Quran and the Hadith? It's not possible. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was Imam. And Imam is a title that was given to expert people, expert in the field of Hadith, Imam Bukhari. Expert in the field of fiqh, Imam Shafi'i. Imam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is known as Imam. And not only Imam, many people called him during his time Al-Imamul Azam, the great Imam. So he was an Imam. Imam means a very knowledgeable person in a particular science, Arabic grammar or tafsir or hadith or fiqh. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is acknowledged by the Ummah as the great Imam. So he was an Imam in a particular science of deen. Which science? If we acknowledge that he was an Imam, so that follows that he was an Imam in a science. Which science? Tafsir, hadith. So we come to the conclusion it was fiqh. In fiqh he was Al-Imam Al-Azam. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam. He used to say that An-Nasu Iyalun ala Abi Hanifata fil fiqh. In the science of fiqh, if all the fuqaha, all the jurists are children, then Abu Hanifa is the father. So he is Al-Imamul Azam as far as fiqh is concerned. And fiqh is to deduce masail from Quran and Hadith. If you are Al-Imamul Azam in fiqh and you don't know Hadith, how can you deduce masail and how can you become Imam in fiqh? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was a muhaddith. He was a well-known faqih. And he was sat in a gathering. Maybe it was Imam Sulaiman al-Amash rahimahullah ta'ala, a muhaddith of his time, a great muhaddith. And somebody came to the senior, the muhaddith. He was the senior. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was his student. And he went to the senior and he said, I have a question. And he posed a question, a fiqhi question. Is this permissible? Is this not permissible? Is it jais? Is it not jais? Is it halal? Is it haram? Is it farz? Is it wajib? He posed a fiqhi question. So Imam Amish rahimahullah ta'ala started thinking. And when he started thinking, obviously he was going through the ahadith on that particular subject. But he could not reach a conclusion. So he turned to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah and he said, Noman, do you have any knowledge on this issue? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, yes, I have knowledge on this issue. So he said, what is the knowledge? And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah gave his verdict that it is permissible. Or he said, it is not permissible. Whatever the answer was, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah gave the verdict. The senior was unable to reach the verdict. And the junior reached the verdict. The teacher was unable to reach the verdict. The student was. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi did not benefit in the field of hadith only from this particular teacher. So this teacher said that from which hadith did you deduce this ruling? The one who is being conveyed sometimes is more understanding than the one who is conveying. He said, from which hadith? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, from the hadith which you have narrated to me. So it's not a hadith which I have heard from somebody else and you are unaware of that hadith. From a hadith which you have narrated to me. So the muhaddith said, which hadith? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi narrated the hadith to him that this hadith, from this hadith I have deduced this ruling. So what did the muhaddith say? The muhaddith said, نَحْنُ السَّيَادِلَهْ وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَطِبَّ. He said, we are pharmacists and you are the doctors. He said to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, we are pharmacists. What does the pharmacist do? He only stocks the medicine. But if a sick person goes to him, he cannot help him. He cannot assist him. So he has everything to cure the sick. But he does not have that understanding. Upon the instruction of the doctor, does the sick benefit from those medicines? So he said that we are pharmacists and you are the doctors. He said to Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, meaning that we muhaddiseen, we have all the stocks of a hadith, but how to deduce masail and to cure the problems of the people, you fuqaha are the doctors. This is another example of a junior being granted this great gift of ilm by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becoming more virtuous over his senior. The senior, from that perspective, will always remain a senior. He is a teacher, so from that perspective, he will always remain a senior. Father is our father, so he will always remain a senior as far as father and son relationship is. But it is possible that in taqwa, the son may surpass his father. In ilm, the son may surpass his father. In fiqh and understanding, the son may surpass his father. And we see this throughout history. During the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, there were many young Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain who surpassed the senior Sahaba. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Young people. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Young. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu was not so old. These are all young people. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, very young. And then when we enter the era of the Tabi'in, era of the Tabi'in, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam leaves this world and the era of the Tabi'in. Because whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was alive, it was the era of the Sahaba. Anybody who saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a Sahabi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed, people were unable to observe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now begins the era of the Tabi'in. Whoever saw a Sahabi, he became a Tabi'i. In the era of the Tabi'i, in the era of the Tabi'in, when we had Sahaba and the Tabi'in, we find many examples where the Tabi'in surpassed the Sahaba in ilm. And then comes the era of the Taba Tabi'in. So every Sahabi departed from this world. So while the Sahaba were present in this world, anybody who saw a Sahabi became a Tabi'i. But when all the Sahaba departed, now came the era of the Taba Tabi'in. So anybody who saw a Tabi'i, he became Taba Tabi'i. We find dozens of examples where a Tabi'i Tabi'i surpassed his seniors, the Tabi'in. And the Tabi'in, and in the case of a Tabi'i surpassing the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, had no problem in accepting the virtue of such people. During the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, when he was the caliph, after the demise of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a body, consultation body comprising of very, very knowledgeable, very, very pious and very, very clever Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in. And from amongst this consultation body was Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who was only 13 when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. So when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was only 15, 16. And when Umar radiyallahu anhu passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu may have been 25, 26, 27. So when Umar radiyallahu anhu passes away, he is only 25, 26 years old. So how young he was when Umar was still alive. He was under 25, 26. He was 24, 23, 22, 18, 17. And he was a member of this consultation body, this shura. And whenever a very, very important issue arose, Umar radiyallahu anhu would call the shura. And he would sit down with the shura and discuss. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a member, an individual from that group regarding whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one go, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah. Abu Bakr is in Jannah, Umar is in Jannah, Usman is in Jannah, Ali is in Jannah, Abu Ubaidah is in Jannah, Talha is in Jannah, Saad is in Jannah, Saeed is in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. From amongst these 10 people was Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Abdul Rahman fil Jannah. So he said to Umar radiyallahu anhu, that why is it that you invite such a young man in these very, very important consultations, when we also have sons similar to his age? So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, innahu min haythu alimtum. Innahu min haythu alimtum. The Muhaddithin have given two interpretations of this sentence. One is that you know where he is from. That means you know that he belongs to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He is related to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one interpretation. And the other interpretation is, innahu min haythu alimtum. You know his status. Haythiyat. You know his status. And this second opinion is more preferable, because in the body of consultation, a person is not chosen on the basis of his family lineage. You know his status as far as ilm and understanding is concerned. And thereafter, no further debate took place. A few days passed. He called Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and he said, today we are convening a meeting of the Shura to discuss a very important issue. Before that issue or after the discussion of that issue, I am going to pose a question. And he did not tell him what the question is. Honest, Umar was very honest, very genuine person. I am going to pose a question. Don't answer until I do not give you permission. So the consultation body got together. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu was also there. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Can you please tell me what message is given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a result of this surah? Some are more understanding than the others. This person said this, that person said this, that person said this. Everybody gave their own interpretation. And they were correct interpretations. But they were shallow interpretations, not deep. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu was instructed by Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu not to say anything until he is asked to do so. He said, "Oh Ibn Abbas, what do you understand from this verse of the Quran? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the verse? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the help of Allah and victory comes. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And when you see people entering the fold of Islam in groups, then what should you do, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. Then you should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. What do you understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam glad tidings of victory, somebody said. What do you understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving glad tidings of the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody was giving their interpretation. He said, "Oh Abdullah ibn Abbas, what do you understand from this surah?" So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said, "I understand from this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the time for your departure from this world to the hereafter is very near." Because his understanding was more. A Nabi is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world with a mission. And Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final messenger who was sent in this world with a mission. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved his Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that he would not leave him in this world for a second extra. For a second extra without need. So Ibn Abbas immediately understood that the help of Allah is coming, liberation of Makkah Mukarrama is coming, and from all four sides people are going to enter the fold of Islam. So the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to an end, and once his mission is accomplished, Allah will not let his Nabi stay in this world for even a second extra, because he loves his Nabi so much that he would call him into Jannah very quickly. And it is for this reason Allah is saying to him that, "Oh my Nabi, glorify me and praise me and seek my forgiveness." So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala said, "This is exactly why, what I understand from this verse also." Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu is sitting in that gathering. From what do we understand from this? Allama Aini rahmatullahi says, "Innal ilma ni'amun ilahiyatun wa mawahiba rahmaniyatun." Niyamun wa mawahibu rahmaniyatun. It is rahmani gift. Ilm is rahmani gift. So whatever little ilm we are given, that is also rahmani gift. It is also ilahi gift. So all of us sitting here, the ulama, the students of ilm, and the non-ulama and the non-students of ilm also, we should be so grateful to Allah that alhamdulillah he has given us a share from this ilm. We know that five times salat is fard. This is also ni'mah ilahiyah. It is gift from Allah. We know that to lie is haram. This is ilm. This is ni'mah ilahiyah. This is mawhibah rahmaniyah. Rahmani gift. We should all be grateful to Allah. So many things we know, alhamdulillah. But what we need to acknowledge is that ilm is gift from Allah, and the fadl of Allah is in his hands. He may give this fadl to whomsoever he desires. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that whatever you hear from me, pass it on to others. Because as far as you are concerned, you will become the senior, because you will be conveying, you will be the teacher. But it's possible that your junior may be granted more ilm from what you are conveying to him, then Allah has granted you. So what we need to do, my friends, is to acknowledge the virtue of those who are junior to us. We all have virtues. Our uncle is older than us, or our neighbor is older than us. In age, he is more virtuous than we are. So we have to respect him for his age. And if we are old in age, but if we have a neighbor or if we have a friend, if we know somebody who is young, but in ilm he is more superior to us, then we have to respect him for what he has. So we should look for the virtue in everybody. Virtue in everybody. Not, we should look for what he has, not what he does not have. And we should treat him accordingly. A person with ilm should not look at the person without ilm from this angle only, that oh, he does not have ilm. No, he should look at him from this angle, that he is older than me. And mashallah, he performs his 5 times salat regularly. And alhamdulillah, I see him reciting the Quran regularly as well. So, he is more virtuous than me because he has performed more salat than me, he has recited more Quran than me, he has fasted more Ramadan than me, he has performed more Taraweeh than me. He must have done more good than me, so he is more virtuous. And when that person looks at this young alim, he should look at it from the other perspective, that he is younger than me, I may have performed more amal than he has, but he has more knowledge. So whatever little he has performed is more perfect than what I am performing. If we learn to look at each other in this way, then everybody will become honorable in this world. Because I will honor you, you will honor me. Amr will honor Bakar, Bakar will honor Amr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And we should never look down upon anybody. And we should never ignore anybody. We should never ignore the abilities and the capabilities of anybody. And there are incidents in history where a person was looked down upon. People used to tease that person. But he worked hard and he became the imam of his time. Imam of his time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So the seniors have to keep this in mind. And what do the juniors have to keep in mind? The juniors have to keep this in mind, that I may be small, I may be insignificant, but ilm is minah ilahiyya, mawahib rahmaniyya. The treasures of ilm are controlled by only Allah. So if I turn to Allah, if I live a life of piety and chastity, and if I continually with sincerity strive towards acquiring ilm, and if I turn to Allah over and over again, and if I make dua to Allah, that oh Allah help me, oh Allah help me, oh Allah help me, Allah does not differentiate between young and old. If I acquire the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can excel me and I may surpass so many other seniors. Not that is my objective. So never become despondent, never lose hope. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to benefit from this hadith and the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مسيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير. اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير. اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير. فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد. اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد. اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.